Or you can look at Luke chapter 6 and whatever device you're looking at. Luke 6, why church? Or the fuller message would be, why go to church? And I want to give credit to whom credit is due. I was listening to Reverend Keith Butler out of Detroit. You know, he's a Rhema graduate from the early years. And I heard him preach this message, and I was so impressed with it because of the particular approach that he took. Of course, you know, you learn from other people. You know, you learn 2 + 2 = 4. You can teach that to somebody else, and you do it your own style and so forth. But I want to give him credit for where credit is due. I was really impressed by the things he said and the approach he took. And then we'll go on from there. Glory to God. I was reminded, Brother Copeland tells this story. He just told it. We were at the minister's conference back a couple of weeks ago. He just told this story. You know, in the beginning days, of course, he was greatly influenced by Brother Hagin and listened to thousands and thousands and thousands of tapes. And, you know, he even went in the early days back in the 60s and told Buddy Harrison, his son-in-law, he said, I'll give you the title to my car if you'll give me all your tapes. And they said, we don't want it. You know, you can have the tapes. You just pay us when you can. But we don't want that old rattle trap of a car you got. But anyway, he listened to thousands and thousands of tapes. And he said, you know, you begin to, back in those days, if you go back to the 70s and 80s, you know, they sounded alike, you know. Of course, they're both from Texas anyway. But he's preaching Brother Hagin's messages, preaching them his own style, but, you know, just preaching them just point by point by point. And he said, Brother Hagin, now he's telling the story, Brother Copeland's telling the story. He said, so he's teasing me. He said, they're at some convention together. And he said, we're out by our book and tape tables. And he walks over to his table and he looks at him, and he walks over to mine and looks at him. He looks up at me and he said, Ken, you could at least change the titles, you know. And because he's preaching his messages. He said, but I told him, he said, oh, no, sir. No, sir, that's the title of it. That's its name. I can't change that. Amen. So I can't change this title. This is Why Church, or Why Go to Church. And right off the bat, let me say, because of modern technology, you know, as always, modern technology can be used for evil purposes, but I believe its primary purpose is to be used for the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of modern technology, under certain circumstances, people can be involved with church through the internet. We have people out this morning because of COVID-related issues. They may not have COVID, but because one person had the vaccine and they have a little fever, and, you know, and other people are quarantined and so forth. You know, so the internet and the internet church is a great blessing to people, can be a blessing. You know, my mother is almost 90. She doesn't have a driver's license. And even if she did, she's not always able to get out on her own at all. And so, you know, she lives in, you know, Florida, near Jacksonville. She has a particular people that she listens to on TV, and it's a great blessing to her life. She's hooked up with them. She supports them. She prays for them. She sends them money and so forth. So that's a blessing to her. You know, we have people who live far away. Now, this isn't the norm. I understand that. But we do have a couple of people that live far away that have a special relationship to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. They have a connection with our church. God Himself linked him to our church. And they're not able to come, but they're listening this morning. They support the church. They support the church with tithes sometimes. They pray for us. They watch the service and regularly, you know, and this is their home church. So these things happen. And like I said, sometimes for legitimate reasons. People this morning, there are people that cannot make it to a particular service. So the internet and being to watch online is a blessing. But you understand that day in and day out, Christians, almost all Christians, maybe 98%, maybe higher than that, should belong to and regularly attend and be involved with a local church. Amen. So why church? Why go to church? Luke 6:38 says, give. That's your part, then God takes over. But give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. Well, that's a familiar scripture. Amen. But it is a primary, glory to God, principle law of the kingdom of God. And here it's talking about a specific thing that you give, but it applies to every area of our life. Many scriptures along these lines about give and you shall receive, sow and you'll reap, amen, seed time and harvest, glory to God. And this principle applies to every area of our life found in various places in the Word of God. Glory to God. You give first. Everybody say first. You do something, you give, then you receive. You give love, you receive love. You give kindness, you receive kindness. You give money, then you receive money. But you give first, then you receive. Now, if you go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 20, you know, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son." Amen. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God gave first. He gave His Son. He gave heaven's best. There's nothing better in the universe than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what's the highest, the heavens, the universe, the galaxy, whatever. But there's nothing better anywhere than Jesus. And God gave Jesus. He gave His best. He gave His Son. And He has received and will continue to receive sons and daughters. Amen. And then here in Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, something is revealed to us that is not revealed to us in the Gospels that Jesus said. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Well, I wonder if that's true. Well, certainly it's true. "It is more blessed to give than receive." The word blessed here means you're better off. You're better off if you give than when you receive. It also means to be blessed, means to be divinely favored. It means to be benefited or profited or prospered in some area, in some way. It means to be blissfully happy. So it is more blessed. You have more favor, more benefits, more happiness, more prosperity when you first give. So question, if you first give, will you receive? Is it more blessed to give? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the overwhelming majority of Christians throughout the church world, doesn't matter whether they're Word of Faith or Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever, the overwhelming majority of Christians believe that the first and main reason the local church exists is to bless them. And a lot of teaching about why come to church centers on what coming to church will do for you. And certainly, certainly, everybody say certainly, there are enormous benefits, amen, granted you and that you're endowed with and blessed with for those who come to church. And we'll look at some of those eventually. But the local church is a place where believers are to give first and receive second. Why would it be any different? Isn't that true scripturally and spiritually about every area of our lives? We don't give to get. We give because we love God with right motives, then we receive. Amen. In every area of life, don't we put others first? Aren't we to worship God first? Aren't we to love Him first? And because we love Him first and seek first His kingdom, then yes, we receive all kind of wonderful benefits. But we don't. We do it with the right motive, and it starts with us giving, not receiving, not getting. So it's never about putting ourselves first. It's about putting God first. It's about loving God first. It's about putting others first. So why would it be different in this area of going to church? Think about it. So first of all, not the only reason, but first of all, we come to church to worship God, to give ourselves to God, to build and promote His purposes for His kingdom and for His local church, and to bring our supply, our part, our particular talents and giftings to build up and support and help other believers. Amen. And we need to get this right in our thinking. Why do I come? It's a different approach. We need to get this right. I'm coming, first of all, to bring something. I'm not coming to get something. I will get something, but I'm not coming to get something. I'm coming to bring something. I'm coming to give something. And see, we need to get that right in our thinking. You know, right thinking leads to right believing, and right believing leads to right actions. But we need to add to that. Most people are familiar with that. You know, Brother Hagin wrote that little book, you know, Right and Wrong Thinking. And he said, you know, if you believe wrong, it's because you think wrong. If you believe right, then you'll act right. But you're not going to believe right unless you first think right. And so we understand that right thinking produces right believing and right confession, right talking, and right actions. But we need to add to that, when you think right and you believe right and you talk right and you act right, then you get right results. How many of you want right results? We want godly results. We want results that please God. We want results that honor God. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to be blessed, then we've got to think right. We've got to believe right. We've got to talk right. We've got to act right. Then we'll get right results. But you see, if we think wrong, and if we believe wrong, and we talk wrong, and we act wrong, then we'll get the wrong results. Well, when it comes to blessing God and blessing His kingdom and getting the most out of our church, then we need to get this right. We need to get right results. So we need to understand and see this side of why come to church so that we can get right results. Can you say amen? Amen. So the first reason we come to church is to give something or to bring something. Well, that begs the question, what am I supposed to bring with me? What am I supposed to give when I come to church? Well, a lot of things. So we're going to look at some of these things. Number one, you bring your prayers. You bring your prayers. You know, James 1:16 says, pray one for another. James didn't write to individual believers. He's writing to the church. Pray one for another that you may be healed. In Ephesians 16, it says to pray with all kind. Again, Paul's writing to the church, not to an individual believer. Somebody says, well, I'm the church. No, you're a part of the church. Yes, we are the church in the sense that we are the temple of God. God lives in us. I like the Amplified Bible. You know, you put those scriptures together in Corinthians, and it says you're the temple of God. Collectively, all of you together are the body of Christ, and individually, you are the temple of God. But when it comes to everyday reality, I'm a part of the church. It's like my little finger. It's not my body. It's a part of my body. Amen. Praise God. So we're part of the church. So he says to the whole church at Ephesus, he says, pray with all kinds of prayer and be diligent about praying for God's people. We bring our prayers. We bring our ability to pray. Amen. And your prayers, James said, are powerful and effective. Glory to God. How many of you this week prayed for somebody here at church because you knew they had a need? Did anybody pray for somebody right here this morning already before the service? Look here, several people. You bring your prayers. Glory to God. What a blessing. Acts 2:42 says the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, and to prayers. Now look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, please hang with me because I'm so excited about this, and I think this is so important, and I think you'll see why, and I think you'll be excited too before we're through. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 19. Paul said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul is in a horrible place. He's in a horrible prison, and, his jailers have no intentions of letting him go. Just put it that way. But Paul says, I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I know that I am delivered from these various, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I know I have been delivered. I know I will be delivered from these various trials and things that I'm going through because you are helping me to be delivered through your prayers. Amen. Glory to God. So we come to church, we bring our prayers. But notice here in Philippians 1:19, he says, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I just point that out because the word supply there in the Greek means the contribution. Contribution. Ephesians 4:16, don't go there because I'm going to go there in a minute, but Ephesians 4:16 says, every member of the church, says every joint, but he's not talking about marijuana, he's talking about people, Every member of the church, amen, every joint supplies, you kind of get lost in that. No, every person, every individual member supplies or contributes. Brittany contributed this morning. Tony contributed this morning. Everybody that gave contributed. Everybody that's here has contributed. Everybody that prayed for somebody else has contributed. Everybody that sang and prayed is contributing. Everybody working back there is contributing. People over there, they're bringing their part. He says, every joint supplies, same word here as in Ephesians 4:16, same word found here where it says the supply of the Spirit means contributes. So every member of the church supplies or contributes, Ephesians 4:16, its share so that others are edified and so that the whole body grows and matures. Hallelujah. Now let me do something. I'm going to read you several passages along these lines, and I'm going to do it from some different translations. Please write these scriptures down, and sometimes this week, you know, read them for yourselves, all right? Because they're very beautiful, very powerful, and it'd take a long time to go through them line upon line, but I want you to see the overall impact of what they're saying. That's what we need to see. Because the overall message here, the overall impact is beautiful and powerful and extremely important as to reasons why you should come to church and what you should bring or give when you come. Amen. So as you know, now the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you'll go over there and start around verse 12 or 13 or 14 and read through the end of the chapter, read that sometime later. As you know, the church is called the body of Christ. Amen. And the body of Christ is called the church. There is the universal church. That's all of us all over the world. We make up the universal church. And then we gather together in local churches, local assemblies, local fellowships to make up a local church that's part of the universal church. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul likens the church, he likens the body of Christ to a physical body. Amen. Well, your physical body is made up of many parts. Aren't you glad, amen, that all your parts came with you this morning? I mean, you wouldn't like it if your ears stayed home, then you could, because you couldn't hear anything. You know, so I have fingers. My fingers they're a part of the body. They have a place in the body. They're valuable, they're precious, and they have a specific function. As do my ears, as does my nose, as does my arms, as do my internal organs. All important, all precious, all necessary, all valuable, all significant. Can you say amen? Amen. And so again, Paul likens the body of Christ, the church, to a physical body. Amen. And everything's important. Everything's necessary. Every part contributes in some way. Every part gives. Every part brings something to the table. And so, listen to this now. Just listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 12:28, this is the Living Bible, says, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. That's good, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 12:25, the Message Bible says, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. Amen. And the Word of God clearly teaches that. Somebody says, no, I'm not going to talk about people that just stay home and don't go to church because, you know, that's a very small minority. But every part, according to the Word of God, we are dependent upon one another. Amen. Glory to God. And then 1 Corinthians 12:25, the Amplified Bible says, now you collectively, that means all of us, are Christ's body. And individually, you are members, you are part, and each part has a place and function. That was the New Amplified. The Amplified Classic says, each part has a special purpose and function. Are you getting that? That's just one passage, 1 Corinthians. Now, you can also go over and read Ephesians chapter 4. You can read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. That's where, you know, it says Jesus ascended on high, and when he ascended, he gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, you know, and so forth. And it talks about the body and so forth. And so in verse number 16, it says, New King James, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, every part contributes, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Listen to that from the New Living Translation. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Whatever part you are, you're valuable, you're important, you're significant. You have a function. You have a supply of the Spirit. You have an anointing. You have a grace. You have a gifting by the Holy Ghost to bring your supply and do your part. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And then today's English version says, so when each separate part works as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love. What do you bring? 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As each person has received a gift. Everybody has gifts and talents and anointings, natural talents and abilities, Holy Ghost talents and abilities and anointings, graces. Minister means serve. Serve it up. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Are you getting this? 1 Peter 4:10, Amplified Classic. As each one has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befits the good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Amen. From the Living Translation, New Living, God has given each one of you a gift. Say, I have a gift. God has given each one of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And then from the New Amplified, just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, employ it in serving one another as appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace. Amen. Using the diverse and varied gifts and abilities granted to Christian by God's unmerited favor. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And then finally, one last passage. You can read over here in Romans chapter 12. You can read verses 4 through 8 for yourself later. But listen to this. This is powerful. Something we have heard about and we have taught on and you've heard on and maybe taught to yourselves, but we don't think about this every day. It says, for we have many members in one body. Different parts, all one body, the church. But all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use. What do you bring? You bring your gifts. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Now all of these gifts here, these are called the motivational gifts, the service gifts, and we're not going to go into details about what they are because that's not our purpose, but, you know, prophecy there really didn't talk about the prophets of ministry, but he says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, our ministry. Ministry means serve. There are people serving all over the building right now. Let us use it in our serving. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts. Did anybody receive any edification or exhortation just by being around somebody else in the body of Christ just this morning before the service started? I mean, my goodness, you walk into the building. Have you ever met Dean Jones? He's a neon. See, Internet Church is a blessing. He has to go to work. So he's right now, as he's on his way to work, listening to us, you know, on the Internet. But Dean, not just this morning. Every time you see Dean, the glory of God is just all over him. I mean, you almost have to put a veil on your face. He's smiling so big. And he's just full. I mean, he's just full of the love of God. And when you talk to him, he's always sharing with you something that God did for you, did for him. He's always sharing a scripture with you. He said, I'm blessed. I'm this. I'm that. You know, that's the way it is for us Christians. Just always, always, always. Glory to God. Amen. There's people that are exhorters. People fuss at John Osteen. They say, well, all he does is encourage people. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. Do you ever need encouraging? Barnabas, you know, was known for his encouraging. He who gives with liberality, he who leads, that means he who administrates You know who you know, John's an administrator. Thank God I'm not. Thank God for administrators in the body of Christ. With diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. New Living Translation. Just as our body has many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and all belong to each other. And then he starts talking about those different gifts. Amplified Bible. So we, who are many, are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Since we have these gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them accordingly. If prophecy, prophesy. If teaching, if teaching. If administrating, if administrating. If giving, giving. Oh, glory to God. See, these particular gifts in Romans, we're all called to give. We're all called to exhort. We're all called to do all of these things. But these are special anointings that people are especially graced to do. We all tithe, we all give, amen? But you know, there are people in the body of Christ that give a whole lot more than some people are able to give. And so that's a blessing. Now, they may not be worth a flip in the nursery, but other people are gifted to do that. And so I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying about giving. I understand the widow's mite, and I understand it's according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. God blesses you. And so even if it's the widow's mite, God blesses it. But as far as everyday practicality, it's wonderful that it was wonderful that I told you we gave a check for almost $11,000 to Daniel this week, didn't I? $6,000, $7,000, $9,000 of that came from three people. That's the way it always is. If it was $100,000, I could get up and tell you eight or nine people gave 65% of that. Does that mean the people that only gave $5 aren't as important? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. I'm just saying that God especially, but those people that give, they can't sing worth a flip, so they're not up here singing necessarily. I mean, they might can, but you know what I mean. Are you following my point here? So everybody brings their part. And it's a great blessing. So when you put all these passages together, and there's more, I mean, wow. You talk about reasons why you should go to church and what you should bring or give when you come. These scriptures tell us we all have a part. We all have gifts. We all have anointings. We all have talents. We all are graced by the Spirit to do certain things, to bring certain things. We all have a supply of the Spirit. And when we do our part, our supply, our contribution causes the church collectively and the individual members to be blessed and edified and encouraged and helped and strengthened and ministered to in a variety of different ways. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you. Our part helps the church develop and grow and become spiritually mature. Our part, what we bring, what we give, provides people with love. It provides people with encouragement. It teaches people. It strengthens people. We are here to help carry people's burdens. Sometimes people just get burdened down, and we preach victory, you know, that faith and victory, but sometimes people are just overwhelmed by their particular set of circumstances. We're here to help them, to surround them with love and support, and to bring our prayers. We're going to talk about bringing our faith later. Our prayer, our faith, all of this working together helps relieve that person. People sometimes get knocked down. People sometimes get wounded and hurt. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And there's a lot of wild, wicked, horrible stuff out there. And sometimes people get hurt. And they need the body of Christ to surround them and love them and care for them. A truly spiritual church is there to help those who are hurting. Amen. Even if someone sins, a mature body of believer wants to. Now, they can't always, because the person has to want to be restored. But a mature spiritual body of believers wants to restore them. An immature body wants to criticize them and talk bad about them and ostracize those that have fallen and fell. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, that means sister in two. So brethren means he's talking to Christians. In other words, brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what brethren means. Talking to Christian. If a man or woman is overtaken in a trespass. Trespass there means a sin. Then kick them out, ostracize them, don't have anything to do with them, and be embarrassed by their behavior. No, it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There are whole groups of people. Brother Hagin, you say there's, he said, my whole denomination. He said, I got to thinking, my God, there's not one spiritual among all of us, because when somebody messes up in our group, we kick them out. No, we ought to want to restore them. That's what the body of Christ does. Well, that's part of what you bring, the ability to restore a fallen believer or to help a hurting believer. Amen. Verse 2 goes on to say, you know, we are to bear one another's burdens. Glory to God. The other day, thank God, Brittany went straight to her Heavenly Father and got her answer and got her deliverance in her family. But, you know, she was burdened down with something. Amen. If she was still dealing with that this morning, there would be people loving her. There would be people saying things to her. There would be people, you know, there's somebody in the hospital right now, two states away. I'm sending them words of encouragement every day and sending them scriptures and so forth. People would be praying for her. Amen. So we support them. We hold them up. We strengthen them. We pray for them. We use our faith for them. And we bear one another's burdens. It goes on to say, in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? That is love one another. Love one another. To do that, it takes every member, every part, every person has to do their part. It takes manpower. It takes anointings. It takes teaching. It takes people who are willing to serve. It takes administrators. It takes teachers. It takes money. It takes givers. It takes helpers. Glory to God, to help bear their burden. It takes everybody bringing their supply. Glory to God. It's interesting to just say, you know, well, why don't you help them? And we had a lady, you know, here several years ago, and ultimately and finally, now we've helped many, and, you know, the school helps people, and we help people, and but this wasn't a great success story because ultimately and finally, she wouldn't be helped. But she was on drugs. She'd been on drugs most of her life. She's in her 40s. And so she wants help. And people are like, you need to help her. I say, well, thank you as you're walking out the door, you know. Now, here's the deal. We got to take care of her for 4 or 5 days. We found her a place to stay in New York. We got to send several hundred dollars up. We got to get her there. We got to send several hundred dollars up there with her. We have to take her to her doctor. That's what they require. We have to feed her and take her and get her cleaned up and all this kind of stuff. And don't just, you know, that takes money. That takes help. Are you willing to put her up tonight? Are you willing to give toward this? Are you willing to? I'm just saying the practical aspects of it, you see. But thank God for the body of Christ, and thank God what you bring. Amen. Now, I realize this morning we're not going to finish this, okay? So sometimes I would come back next Sunday morning, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish this Wednesday night. But I'll say some more things here, but I'll go into more details Wednesday night. What we bring? We bring our prayers. We bring our supply of the Spirit, our anointing, our giftings, our talents, our abilities. It's what the Word of God clearly tells us to do. And oh, what a wonderful difference it makes. But so let's just finish up with this. One of the reasons we're going to look at is we come to church to bring our fellowship. In modern day language, we call it community. In the New Testament Greek, they called it koinonia. You've all heard teaching on koinonia. Amen. So community, koinonia, fellowship, meaning Christian fellowship. You can get fellowship from anybody. We're talking about Christian fellowship, okay? Communion with other believers and association with other believers. When we bring our fellowship, we greatly help one another. We love on one another. We check up on one another. We see the needs of other people and all of that, so that we can pray for them, so that we can share with them. We heard testimonies from Brittany this morning. That blessed me. We heard testimony from Tony. That blessed me. That helped me. That encouraged us. That Tony and I fellowship all together a lot of times and others, you know, and it helps me in so many ways. Even if we're just talking about Georgia beating Alabama, you know, it helps me in so many ways when we talk about that, doesn't it, Tony? Amen. No, but a lot of times what we're doing is, I'm just using us as an example. He's sitting right there on the front row. He's giving me scriptures. I'm giving him scriptures. He's telling me testimonies. I'm giving him testimony. He's showing me what God showed him. He's back and forth. Oh, it's wonderful. And I need that. So you're the pastor. I need that. And it helps me and it blesses me so much. And I get it from Margaret and I get it from Caleb and I get it from Sherry and I get it from Mike. And I need that. Praise God. I tell you, spiritual associations matter. Spiritual atmosphere matters. Spiritual environment matters. We'll look at this deeper on Wednesday night, but it is a spiritual law. Now, how many of you know if something's a law, that means it works every time? There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions to gravity. What goes up always comes down. You can interfere with it, but if you don't interfere with it, you're not going to cheat gravity. And you're not going to cheat this spiritual law. We are all greatly influenced and affected by what we associate with and with who we associate with. Tremendously. And you can think otherwise, but it's just not true. It's not true. It's not true. Amen. We will be influenced by what we commune with and what we associate with. Now, this is a little side journey, but as Brother Hagin used to say, sometimes these side journeys helps you more than the main message. Yet, right on the other hand, this is very relative to our subject. How are we gonna? You cannot. Just regularly go to some church that downplays or ignores or denies or in some cases fights against the power of God and the goodness of God and teaches doubt and fear and unbelief and teaches that the promises of God have all passed away and you know, doesn't teach faith, doesn't teach the Holy Spirit, doesn't teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, doesn't talk about the importance of tongues, doesn't talk about healing. And not be affected by it. You cannot do it. You cannot immerse yourself in doubt and unbelief week after week, month after month, year after year, and it not affect you in your faith. And people that think they can are greatly deceived. They're saying, gravity won't affect me when I jump off this building. Doesn't matter what you think, it's going to affect you. Amen. Glory to God. Every once in a while, somebody will come here to our bookstore. And they'll buy, you know, we just have a little bookstore there. They'll buy $100 worth of books. And they literally, I remember one guy literally going, he's buying them and he's walking out the door and he goes, they don't teach none of this stuff where I go to church. I'm going, well, why do you go to church there? You know, I was talking to a man. Now, this goes back, me talking to him 25 years ago, you know, because we've been here almost 40 years. But he and his wife, lovely couple, wonderful people, had come to church here for 4 or 5 years. Or longer, maybe, and then they were gone somewhere else. And so I was visiting with them, and this goes back 25 years ago, so you can't possibly know who I'm talking about. She was talking about the church and everything. And she walked away, and the husband said, "I don't preach half. I don't believe half what they preach down there." And he was trying to say like they, you know, they're preaching this stuff, and they're not preaching, and I don't believe it. And he was in essence trying to say, "And I'm not affected by it." Yes, you are. It's impossible not to be. Impossible not to be. It's a spiritual law. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, what you run with, what you closely associate with and hang with is going to rub off on you. That's a law of the Spirit. Amen. I had a friend that he was a good friend. He was a little bit younger than I was, I mean, maybe 10 years, maybe more. Came to church here and they moved to another city. And while he was here, you know, we did a lot of things together because, you know, I'm into sports. And he was always saying, I didn't normally do this kind of thing. But you know, he'd say, hey, would you go with me to watch the Atlanta Hawks play if I get his tickets? Yeah. If I can get his tickets to the Braves. So we went to the Hawks game. We went to the Braves game. We went to a minor league hockey game in Knoxville. Now, that's a trip. Fights on the court. Fights in the restroom. Fights in the stands. You know, this is low level. But we went to a Georgia Tech game one time, and so he and his wife and kids moved away. Well, they went to a church, but it wasn't a church that preached the strong word message, faith message. You know, you can't go to a church that blasphemes God and tells you that God is putting sickness and disease on people, and it not affect you. And so I'd be around him. I lost all contact with him, but for several years, because we had been pretty good friends, I was around him every 4 months, every year and a half. And every time I got around him, he didn't even realize it, but just the way he talked about his family, about his job, about his health, he had been tremendously affected by a lot of wrong teaching. And side journey, but yet it's a part. You should go to the church God's lead you to go to. People go to church for all kind of wrong reasons. They go looking for a place to advance their ministry. And so they run here for a little while, and because we won't let them, you know, they say they'll do anything, but because we don't let them preach from the pulpit, they run somewhere else that, and that place might let them preach from the pulpit, but that'll get old with them, and so they'll stay there a little bit longer, but then they'll leave there. You don't go to a church to meet girls. Or leave it because you say, you know, I've went through that herd. Excuse me, ladies. Guys, girls, girls, guys. I'm going to go over here because they got more. That's not why you go to church. That's why you leave a church. Listen, people go to church because that's where mom and daddy always went. They go to church for all kinds of wrong reasons. People go to church for social reasons. They go to church because they think it's good for their business. Recently, in talking about this, we were talking about some of these things, and Margaret called me because she's always, you know, coming in and said, let me show you this scripture. Or she'll say, let me read you this. I have this devotional. And she'll text me sometimes during the day. And she gave me something the other week by Smith Wigglesworth. And, you know, something by somebody else said. And because she's full of God and full of the Word and full of light and love. And she's sharing that stuff with me. And so we were talking along these lines. And she said, you've got to go listen to week 56 of Keith Moore's, I think it was week 56 of Keith Moore's Faith School, week 56, Thursday, the last 15 minutes. So I looked it all up. And so I just want to give you some of the things he said along these lines, and it'll help me close this down because we've been preaching a long time already. Are you all right out there? Let me just give you. He said, you know, of course, obvious, the Bible, God has placed everyone in the body as it has pleased him. He has a place he wants to join you to. He has a place. But you don't have to follow his plan. He said people decide to go based on a lot of things. Well, you know, what they think will advance their causes or make them more money or meet some agenda, not just going to church, but in all areas. People make all kinds of decisions. This was so good. He said people make all kinds of decisions about church, about life, about going to school, about this, without any consideration whatsoever for the will and plan of God in their lives. Before you make any decision, the first and foremost thing ought to be, what is God's will and plan for my life in this area? He said they end up in wrong places under wrong influences. Wrong places under wrong influences. He says God is able to get you to the right place. So he said we see God connect people to churches and they and their families are blessed there. But then for some reason, some wrong reason, is they leave. He said the only reason you ought to leave is because God leads you to leave. Sometimes God leads people to leave, but you don't leave for any other reason. I'm convinced he would lead you to leave a dead church that doesn't preach the truth, of course. And sometimes God leads people, and that's wonderful, that's fine. But you don't leave because you got mad, because they didn't do something that you didn't like. You may think Joseph Prince is the greatest. You may think Kenneth Hagin was the greatest. You may think Kenneth Copeland's the greatest, or Norval Hayes, or Oral Roberts, or Joyce Meyer. If you worked for them, sooner or later you would hit a bump, and they would do something that you don't like, or they would say something that you don't like. And you could get your feelings hurt, and you could be offended, and you can leave for wrong reasons. And people do. Keith Moore, he said, this is why the devil is always trying to separate you from what God joined you to. People often leave because they get offended. They were led in by the Spirit, but they were led out by offense. Are you supposed to be led by offenses? Even if they actually did something wrong to you, are you supposed to leave? Not necessarily at all. You shouldn't leave unless God leads you to. I'm quoting him. Go where God leads you. Before you move, before you change jobs, before you go to college, before you do anything, first and foremost, consider the will and plan of God in your decision. Amen. And he said this, if you'll stay where God put you and walk in love and get over the little bump, you might just grow up a little bit. And you might realize you were wrong. And you might learn to submit and get along with other people. And when you stay there, then promotion and blessings and opportunities will come your way. You know, Keith Moore is pretty famous around the world these days. He worked for 20 years for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. He said, there were times I wanted to leave. He's not necessarily because he's mad, but he said, you know, there were times I put in for a transfer, you know, to heaven. And he said, it came back, transfer denied. That's when you find out, are you your own Lord or is Jesus your Lord? He said, there were a couple of bumps in the road at times. He said, but when I look back on it and I stayed and did what God told me to do, he said, the blessings that came to my life because I stayed there and the promotion and the opportunities are just unreal. So why come to church? First, so you can give something. You bring your prayers. You bring your very special, significant, anointed, needed supply. You bring your fellowship and you give and you serve and you contribute and you bless others. And what you bring and give is needed. I'm closing. What you give is needed and important. And I got to thinking about this. It's truly impossible for us. Now, God knows. But it's truly impossible for us to really see the value of our supply and what we bring and how it helps and what it does for others in strengthening and building up and helping and comforting and restoring and causing people to get saved and blessed. And I mean, it's impossible for us, God knows, for us to know what Sherry Supply does for this body and for the kingdom, or Mike's or Teresa's. I think Svetlana, I'm sure, is watching online from Indiana, you know, and our trips to the Ukraine with her. All those, Tony's been on 50 trips by himself. I'm not by himself, but 50 trips himself. And so going to those orphanages, to go to that orphanage, it took money, it took administration, it took leadership, it took people willing to serve, it took teaching, it took prayer, it took fellowship, it took work. Just one of those orphanages, and she's been to 100. Just one of to go in there and cook them hot dogs, and somebody had to, under the anointing, did their skits and sang their songs and did their presentation, and we gave our gifts, and only heaven will reveal, only heaven will reveal what it did for those kids. Some things we know about, but I'm convinced there's thousands of things we don't know about. Because somebody was doing their part in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody back home was praying. Somebody was giving. Somebody was administrating. Somebody was bringing their faith. We hadn't got to that one, but somebody was using their faith. Glory to God. I mean, I think about myself and I think about you. All of our lives have been eternally. And has your life been eternally and dramatically changed? Somebody in the body of Christ was doing that. Of course, Jesus did his part, but, you know, there was a church somewhere and somebody preached a message, or there was a concert somewhere and somebody shared their testimony and people were praying and people were working and serving and bringing their supply. I'm so grateful. So why church? First of all, so you can bring and give. And as you give, you will be more blessed. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand up together, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for letting me go on long. Say, letting you? We didn't have any choice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, isn't that good stuff? Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for you and your part. I mean, geez, I look around and get to talking with Lynn, and if you get to talking with Lynn other than just riding a motorcycle, if we could start talking about the Lord, within 5 minutes, the love of God and compassion, them tears start rolling down his eyes as he starts telling about the goodness of God and the power of God and what God's done for him and blessed him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're born again and you know it, lift your hands. Now, since everybody in the room raised their hand, how many of you think we ought to give a 20-minute altar call? I'm grateful for the people in this local body. I'm grateful for the people in other local bodies. We're going to see some more reasons on Wednesday night. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just your countenance, just your handshake, just your hug, just your, why don't you just love on somebody else in the body of Christ and just let them know how much you appreciate them as a fellow member of the body of Christ as we're dismissed tomorrow. Why don't you just do that right now? Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.